because of the divorce.
She's wise woman.
Forty.
I don't even count the hours.
Go ahead. I wish that we would have, but I didn't get time today. Those assignments. File 16?
Yeah.
Is file 16 due today?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I accidentally turned in my notes instead of my mobile assignment to give the interview. Now I can't find my assignment. It's got to be someplace.
That John 17, 14, 17, I graded that. I haven't done this class. Wish I had, but I'll get it next week. See if you can come up with it and turn it in. How many, anybody not have file 16 ready to go here? Got it? Let's go over that as long as you're ready. I don't even have a copy of it, so...
You don't have a copy?
I don't need one. You're going to correct it. Here's what we'll do. We'll start right over here. Correct your own. And you read the question and tell us the right answer.
Okay. Who made the first reason?
Question one, Rasmus made the first Greek text.
E.
Good. Go ahead.
What was Cardinal, whatever his text called, I put C, complacency of polyglot?
Okay, I think that's pronounced Eumenius, huh?
Eumenius, that's correct.
Okay.
So his text was competency.
Good.
Go ahead.
What describes the manuscripts that Rasmus used for his texts? E. He used late date manuscripts, several being incomplete.
He used late date manuscripts, several being incomplete. Is there another answer there?
D.
What does D say?
I put D. He had six manuscripts in the Byzantine family and two manuscripts in the Western family.
Yeah. That's definitely not the right answer.
Right.
What's A?
He used eight manuscripts, not later than the 10th century.
He used eight manuscripts, then later than the 10th century. Actually, it should be done earlier than the 10th century. So that isn't right.
Right.
Anything else look close?
No.
Must be E then.
Yeah.
Must be E.
Go ahead.
Okay. Number four. Who is a teacher, a humanist, one-time Catholic priest, and popular writer? C. Erasmus.
Okay, Erasmus. Good.
Okay, who was the first to totally abandon the Textus Receptus? I put down C for Lachmann.
Lachmann, he's the first to totally abandon it.
Which text is not essentially a revision of Erasmus? Maybe Nelson.
Complutensian isn't a revision of Erasmus. Good.
Okay.
Which text is not essentially a revision of the Textus Receptus? I got down E, Alfred.
Yes, Alfred is not a Textus Receptus text. Go ahead.
Which text is not essentially a revision of Erasmus? B. Tregelles.
Yes, Tregelles is an unsealed text, not a manuscript text. Jeff.
Which text is rated higher than Tregelles? B. Tischendorf.
Tischendorf rated higher than Tregelles, yes.
Okay. Who is the author of System of Manuscript Notations? C. Wettstein.
Wettstein, yes.
Which text is the Textus Receptus published as Englishman's Greek New Testament? I guess.
Yeah, we all did.
All you have to do is look at Englishman's Greek New Testament library.
Yeah.
B.
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 Stephanos.
Stephanus, yes.
Really?
BD.
Stephanus on the title page.
That was mentioned in class.
Go ahead, Robert.
Okay. Which text originated in the title of Textus Receptus A, Erasmus?
Actually, the answer is Ellsberg. Ellsberg originated that by saying the reader denies the text received by all. In 1633, they claimed the phrase.
That's B.
Is that B?
Mm-hmm. B, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Who is credited with originating verse divisions? D, Stephanus.
Yes, Stephanus.
Discovering and publishing Greek manuscripts.
Discovering and publishing. He's the guy that's discovering and publishing.
Yeah. Mm. I at first thought you there was a typo there in collecting and collating.
Which text is better than Tischendorf? B. Nestle?
Yes, Nestle's better.
Good.
Which is a Roman Catholic text? C. Merck?
Merck is a Roman Catholic text. Okay, back over here.
17. Which statement describes one word? He did not change the TR as much as other scholars of his day. C.
Yes, Wordsworth's kind of throwback to the TR.
Which text is not similar to the other four? I put Lachmann E.
Is that correct?
Besson, Mill, Stephanus, and Elvisser, and then
all of those came from
the others are all TR.
Yeah.
So Lachmann's the one that is the TR text. Go ahead.
Which text is similar to Jelly's?
Which one?
Palmer.
Palmer is an NCL text. Greisbach is a throwback to the TR. So Greisbach's the answer there.
Okay, number 20. Which text is inferior to the others? I put D, then Soden.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Soden is considered inferior to Tischendorf, Nestle's.
Tortelli's.
Yeah.
Jelly, Soder, Nestle.
Okay.
Good deal.
21. Which text is least similar to the other four? I put down E for Comitantism.
Comitantism. What are the answers there?
Tertullus, Erasmus, Westine, and Wells.
Tertullus. I think Tertullus.
Tertullus
is least similar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tertullus is a mensual text, the others are minuscule texts.
Oh.
22. Which text is a compilation of the text, not manuscripts. I put C. Nestle.
Nestle comes from Westcott and Hart, Tischendorf, and who's the third guy?
Ellsberg.
A commentator.
Wales or. Model.
In 1890. Anyway. But he went from text, he didn't go from manuscripts. Go ahead.
So the answer? So what's the
answer?
Nestle.
Okay, you see.
Which text is superior? I got down E, Nestle.
Is that right?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, obviously you do.
24. Which text is superior? I've got C, which is Tertullus.
A.
I got A.
What's A?
Greisbach,
he's way back at the 1700s, so maybe 1830 or something. Greisbach is barely out of the TR.
Yeah.
1805. So Tertullus
is better than Lachmann,
is better than
Greisbach.
Tertullus must be the answer, unless
Westcott
heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff.
Which text is superior? I put B. Tischendorf.
Tischendorf? Okay.
25 is B. Okay.
Steve.
Which text is superior? A. Alfred, as opposed to Lachmann Greisbach.
Yes. Go ahead.
Which text is superior? That would be Westcott and Hart.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which text is inferior? Of the E. R.O.
Roman text is generally considered to be inferior, although they wouldn't agree. Go ahead.
Which text is closest to Palmer? A. Suter.
Yes.
Okay, which text is closest to Westcott, Florida? UBS.
I think UBS is real close to us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which was not a textual critic? I said Ellsberg.
Yeah, they're printers. Did you push it?
Yes, closest to WH. I put R because they were revisers of. I thought they were revisers of Westcott.
No, the revisers are the revisers of the King James.
On 31, which was not a textual critic, I put Erasmus. He made a comment in class that he became a textual critic by, not by choice, but.
Well, that's true. He was not a textual critic by profession, but he actually did work as a textual critic. Mm-hmm. But Elsevier, they just were printers. He didn't do any textual work at all. No, Erasmus was a textual critic, but he did textual critic work, mm-hmm. which, in a sense, makes him a textual critic. Go ahead.
32. What reaction was there toward changes in the TR? The violently opposed to C?
Violently opposed, yes.
What was Bingo's main contribution to C, developing critical principles?
Developing critical principles, he said, in Grasbach, he said, the fathers and tools. Go ahead. Okay.
What was Schultz's main contribution? The cataloging?
Cataloging. You know, the 606 new manuscripts. Go ahead.
What helped Lachman most to cast aside the TR and C? He was not a theologian and therefore was unaware of any reason against setting it aside.
He didn't know all the prejudice. Go ahead, Ted.
Okay, 36. What was Grasbach's main contribution? D, furthering principles?
Furthering principles.
37. Which man produced the commentary in Greek New Testament? I went Weston T. C.
Produced what?
Commentary on the Greek New
Testament. Oh, commentary on the Greek New Testament.
Weston?
Weston, I don't know that he did. I don't think he did. Alfred did. Alfred. Ford only went to the library.
Mm-hmm.
Ford, did he produce a commentary?
Yes,
all right. Hort produced a textual commentary like Metzger's. So you could probably get away with Hort there. Alfred actually has a Greek word study in the library.
He? Hort?
Hortle slide,
yeah.
Okay. You know how volume 2 of UBS is Metzger's comments on all the variants? Hort produced one of those. It's called Notes on Select Readings. So if you were to say a commentary on the Greek New Testament, there's a way in which you could misconstrue that to be a commentary on the variants of the New Testament. Next, go ahead. Dr. Dale.
This text, once it falls set aside the TR, put C, what's kind of word?
What's kind of word, yes.
39, what is UBS's main contribution? I got the critical apparatus.
Critical apparatus is their main contribution. Their text is not really better than Westcott and Hort. I mean, I would probably say that it is, but it's their apparatus that is the benefit of what they've done. Hmm. Producing another text doesn't really do that much for us. Go ahead.
40. Which text type did Westcott and Hort follow? B, neutral.
Hort invented this neutral text. He followed one of the text types. Jeff.
Which text type does the TR resemble as the B Byzantine?
Byzantine, yes. It follows the Byzantine text type, which is the predominant, ministry manuscripts. Steve.
What is the text of the English Revised Version? Reluctantly put B Palmer, wasn't it, sure?
Palmer and Soder, that's the English Revised Version. Abbreviated R for revisers. Go ahead there, Robert.
What was 42?
What was 42?
B.E.D.
What other text contains an apparatus besides UBS? Westcott and Hort?
They didn't contain an apparatus. Nestle does.
Yeah.
It's real complicated and hard to use.
D. German, isn't it?
Well, it uses German letters to symbolize families of manuscripts. try to use it sometimes.
I looked at it. I can warn you.
It says Trigelli's also had an apparatus, and he's one of the choices there.
Did Trigelli's have an apparatus? Didn't he write every commentary on
that's what he said in that
paper. All right, let's accept that as an answer.
44, which text was the result of tremendous slavery at least disappointing E. Van Staden 7?
Yeah, that's the issue the critics have. Thoughts?
Which text is different from the others? The choices are Vogel, Merck, Alford, Bober, and Beza. And I said Beza was different from the other four. E?
Alford. Let's see. Vogel, come on. Why? Okay, Vogel, Merck, and Bober are three Catholic texts.
Yes, so we threw those out.
They're modern.
Right.
The only difference is what does Alford have in common with them? What does Beza have in common with them?
Tia.
I don't know that the Catholic translations have a lot to do with the TR. So I would say Beza is the least similar since the other four minor translations. Mm. Honestly, I don't really know the answer to that question. Let's accept either Alfred or Beza.
All right.
The handout sounded like it made some sort of link between the Catholic ones and the PR.
Okay.
He said it was.
Yeah, like one was closer to the TR.
Closer to the TR.
Kind of had an implication a little bit of TR.
There's a leading to Latin Vulgate, which is close to the TR as well. Go ahead over there.
26. Which text is different from the others? Google, Merck, Bober, Computation, and Stephanus. I put Computation B.
That's a toughie. I think I put Stephanus there, since the other four are Catholics, and it's hard to even know what similarities or differences we'd be dealing with. So I'd go for Stephanus there and say there's four Catholic texts and one Protestant text. Leave it at that.
Fine.
I have a quirky question. Roger.
Which critic was first a Quaker and then associated with the Plymouth Brethren? Trigelius.
Trigelius.
Which of these critics most favored the TR? I put Scrivener. D.
Scrivener, yes, he favored the TR. Tom?
Which critic vehemently defended the TR? Bergen.
Bergen. Yes.
What's number 50? What statement describes the textual decisions of the UBS text committee? I got C. They represent a high degree of scholarship.
Yeah, they represent a high degree of scholarship. So go ahead and give yourself 50 questions, 2 points apiece. Give yourself a percentage on top of your test.
46. I put D also, thinking that the first three things, because of that so-called implication that there is closer to the TR coming from Stephanus, I thought there was a correlation there, that's why I put the competency for the
Let's let it go either way. Good question, too hard to
understand.
Minus 8, minus 10, minus 12, minus 14, minus 14. Give yourself a percentage and go ahead and hand them up. Continuing on, leading up to the King James Bible.
Thank
We left off with bishops, 1568. The next translation was a Catholic translation, 1582. Called the Douay-Rheims New Testament. The Douay-Rheims translation. Douay-Rheims. D-O-U-A-Y-R-H-E-I-M-S. We just call it Douay. The New Testament was translated in 1582 at the town of Rheims. The Old Testament was translated in 1609-10 at the town of Douay. It's called the Douay, the Douay-Rheims translation. It contained an introduction to keep Catholics from reading Protestant Bibles. The Catholics recognized they had lost the war and that English Bibles were here to stay. And they were never going to eradicate them. They recognized that. They were too popular, too well known. It was impossible to make them illegal, but once the people have had it for long enough time, you're never going to take them away. The next best thing they can do is publish their own English translation, give it a Catholic bias, and hope to keep the sheep in the fold. The Douay translation isn't a bad translation. It's weaker than the King James, but it's a fairly good translation. It communicates the gospel in English, and any Catholic that would read his Bible would easily find Jesus Christ as his Savior, and find many other things as well. Now, there are some Catholic renderings. 1 Timothy 4:3. Forbidding to marry, they say, disallowing the sacrament of marriage. Well, that isn't so bad, the sacrament of marriage. Call marriage a sacrament, or call it just a vow or something, it doesn't matter. Repent in Acts, or just in regular places, is changed to penance. Now that I disagree with quite a bit. Talking about Christ, when Christ ascended into heaven, they say he was assumptive.
The Douay contains the Apocrypha, the 12 books of the Old Testament that are not inspired. But for that matter, so did the King James, and it included it up until the 1800s when it was voted out. Douay was fairly good for its day. Its main problem is that it's outdated. Few passages reveal doctrinal dishonesty. Most of it is translated fairly well, and it communicates the sense of the Latin Vulgate such as they had it. It's a translation of the Latin Vulgate. It contains anti-Protestant notes. Now the Catholics got their turn. The heading of Acts 8, where Simon was trying to buy the power that Peter possessed. The heading is, Simon Magus, more religious than the Protestants. Actually, if they want that as a heading, that's fine with me. The Catholics have, if you can't beat them, join them attitude. Then, this brings us up to the King James. The reason for the King James is to unite the Protestant Church under one scripture, to unite the Anglicans and the Puritans. In 1604, a conference was convened by the King James. Now, King James had this idea suggested to him by a Protestant leader, a Puritan leader. And he merely went along with it. King James is more into politics. He's not into religion so much. People think King James translated this Bible. He did no such thing. He allowed it, probably for political advantages, at the suggestion of others. This translation was to not have any notes. All notes were to be scholarly and contained textual data or other data. There were to be no theological positions expressed in the notes. lest doctrinal positions offend and bring more division in the church. 54 scholars were appointed. Actually, 47 did the job. I don't know what happened to the other seven. Evidently, they died or didn't make it. They worked in three groups at Westminster, Oxford, and Cambridge. The King James is still the best-selling version on the market today. It is the best-selling version on the market today. Now, there might be a year when another new translation takes over and beats it that year just because of its popularity, but those translations wane in several years, and the King James then takes over again as number one. The rules of the translation, the translators were to follow the following rules. Where did those rules go? I've got them here. Well, one rule was that the bishop's Bible was to be followed as close as possible, altered only as the original demands. Now, that's funny that they would choose the bishops to follow it so closely, when actually the King James turns out to be 70% Tyndale, at least in the New Testament. Scholars believe they must have thought it important to deviate from it a lot. Now, really, Tyndale, Coverdale, Geneva, Great Bible, Matthew's Bible, those translations are very, very, very close. They're all very similar. They differ a word here, a phrase there, but they're very similar. Old ecclesiastical words were to be kept in the text. No marginal notes that might bring division in the church were permitted. Now, each group translated a particular portion of Scripture. This translation, upon completion, was sent around to the other groups who made comments on it for revision and correction. Then there was a final committee that took charge of difficulties and disagreements among the groups, among the bodies that were translating. Bishop Andrews headed up the whole body of translators. He was familiar with 20 languages. In the New Testament, the better scholars were assigned to the Gospels. That's odd, because the Gospels afford the easiest translation, or the epistles are much more difficult. Of the 47 scholars, there were Anglicans, Puritans, there were laymen from Oxford and Cambridge and Westminster, and of course there were many theologians, pastors, professors, and so forth. The work took 7 years. Next to Tyndale, the Geneva Bible holds an important place in the influence of the King James translators. To Tyndale we owe the tone of simple earnestness, plainness of speech, economy of words. The King James translators went beyond the bound of their instructions by consulting the Douay-Rheims version. They also consulted Swiss, German, Italian, Latin Vulgate. They consulted everything they could get their hands on, practically. The King James translators enriched their work with poetry and beauty. They translated it like you would a piece of literature, where you would use different words rather than the same word for variety and to make it sound better to the ear. Instead of translating the same Greek word by the same English word, they used a lot of synonyms to give it a literary flavor and variety. Of course, that lowers its accuracy and can confuse the reader. They exercise freedom in translating. And in quoting the preface, one of the translators defends this by saying, "Is the kingdom of God become words or syllables? Why should we be in bondage to them if we may be free? Why use one when we may use another that fits as well?" Now, I would answer this by saying the kingdom of God has never become words or phrases, but the word of God has always been words or phrases. So they're mixing apples and oranges. There are 49 different Hebrew words translated destroy, 40 different Hebrew words translated to set, 39 different Hebrew words translated to bring. The Hebrew word to give, the verb to give, is rendered 84 different English ways. The Hebrew word face is rendered 94 different English ways. The Hebrew word for a word is rendered 84 different ways. And that is common for them to be completely inconsistent. Now, you couldn't get just one English word for those words and cram it in all those contexts. 10 or 12 different ways might fit, but 84 is a little bit free. The King James translators were men of sensitive ears. They had regard for melody and tempo. They could hear what was lovely in nearly every passage. And so they sought to bring forth beauty, poetry, a literature in their translation and not just a rendering. The King James had to fight its way for popularity for 50 years. It was charged with bad theology, bad scholarship, and bad English. Today, the King James contains many obscure words. For example, kine, K-I-N-E, modern meaning, heifers. The word let, the modern meaning is hinder. The Old English word seethe, S-E-E-T-H-E, modern meaning boil. Old English whist, W-I-S-T, the word know. Habergeon, H-A-B-E-R-G-E-O-N, that is a coat of mail. Go ahead.
What was whist again?
W-I-S-T. No.
N-O.
K-N-O-W. Whist is really new. Wot is no. You know, I wot not. Every whit, W-H-I-T, means everything. Essayed, A-S-S-A-Y-E-D, means attempted. Essayed. Quick, the quick and the dead. Well, quick here means living. The living. Cracknels. Cracknels mean cakes. Eschewed. E-S-C-H-E-W-E-D means avoided. He eschewed evil. Leasing. It means lying. L-E-A-S-I-N-G means lying. Wimples. Wimples means shawls. Shawls that you wear on your head. Crisping pins. Crisping pins means purses. Silverlings. Silverlings are pieces of silver. Holpen, H-O-L-P-E-N, means helped. Fray, F-R-A-Y, means scare. Hosen, H-O-S-E-N, means upper garments. Anon, A-N-O-N, means immediately. Trow, T-R-O-W, means think. I'm sure I can come up with a few that you don't know what they mean. Kneesings, N-E-E-S-I-N-G-S, means sneezings. And there's mufflers in Isaiah 3:18, and I don't know what that means. Mufflers. There's a lot of obscure words in the King James, and we kind of gloss over them. Even charity for love. Today, charity is a handout, but actually that word in Old English meant love. Today, charity means something different. The King James does need update. McClintock and Strong say, quote, "It may be safely said that one half of modern popular commentaries is taken up with the correction of errors, the solution of difficulties, which a close, idiomatic, lucid, and judicious translation would have at once dissipated." They're saying that half of modern commentators are spent making plain the reading of the King James. Go ahead.
On that list of all those words, do you think that there's some reference
to it? I have a reference on it. And the book is... Well, this is a photocopy out of a Bible dictionary, Popular and Critical Bible Encyclopedia and Scriptural Dictionary. There's a book in the Textual Criticism section of the library on one book on vocabulary in the King James. Lists all the outdated words and their meanings and where they're found in the King James. The King James itself is subject to textual criticism. The original 1611 is lost. And there have been printing errors down through the ages. And in the 1700s, Benjamin Blaney was hired by the church to solve all these difficulties and resolve the King James, where I can remember reading in Minor Prophets. We found a variant right in the book of Hosea. I can't remember what it was now. Vats and fats. I think that was it. A variant in the King James, in a printed text. There were many errors and printing errors in the King James, and especially in early days of printing. For example, in 1613 edition came out, "I pray God it may be laid at their charge." Then there was 1632, "Thou shalt commit adultery." Then there was 1653, "The unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God." Of course, omitting the word "no" there can really cause confusion. Those who translated "thou shalt commit adultery," that's called the Wicked Bible. They were fined £300 and put out of business. There's the Fool Bible, which says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is a God." The Unrighteous Bible says, "The unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God." In one Bible, Judas said, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." There's the Sinner's Bible, which says, "Sin on more." All they did is take the O and the N and switch them. There's the Parable of the Vinegar instead of Vineyard. There's the Denial Bible. Philip instead of Peter denies Christ. The Wife Hater's Bible. If any man come to me, hate not his father, mother, yea, his own wife also. There's the Murderer's Bible. These are murmurers and complainers. It says murderers. There's the Discharge Bible. I discharge thee before God. There's the Male Chauvinist Bible. He is substituted for she in the book of Ruth. He went into the city instead of she. Then there's a Bible that contains this stern admonition: a man may not marry his grandmother's wife. These are all famous Bibles that have had printing errors. The Placemaker's Bible. Blessed are the placemakers. Instead of the flesh lust is against the spirit, it had the flesh lust after the spirit. There's even the printer's Bible. Printers have persecuted me without a cause. Instead of princes. I suspect that probably summarizes this section. King James bloopers. More on the King James. The King James was popular because of the King's decree. It was popular because the church wanted unity. The King James is really not so much wrong as inadequate. It lacks tense distinction in the Greek and distinction of Greek terms, shade of Greek terms. It lacks precision, precision, carefulness, especially with prepositions. Loads of prepositions are translated by. Dia, through, is translated by. In is translated by. Into is translated by. Very sloppy with prepositions. The King James is, on the positive side, a beautiful piece of literature, reverent, contains no real doctrinal blunders of note. It's universally popular. It's famous for memorizing. And most all reference works are tied in with the King James and no other translation. So, because of all those factors, we use the King James in our Bible college, not because we're afraid of anything else, but just because of its universal popularity, and most people are familiar with it, and often people memorize out of it. The producers of the New King James Version, there's a New King James Version out in the 70s, they note that there were 24,000 changes made in the text and punctuation of the King James between 1611 and 1769. Also, current printings differ from one another in hundreds of instances. Now, we're talking about commas, periods, and little tiny minute details. 1769 was the major revision of the King James, not in translation, but in updating it and correcting a lot of printing errors. Benjamin Franklin proposed a complete revision of the King James in his day, suggesting that the reading of the Bible is being neglected due to its obsolete style. Benjamin Franklin was basically an atheist. Was he an atheist or an agnostic? What was he basically? He had a certain label they call him. He was not a Christian at all.
Isn't he the one that said education without the Bible was ridiculous.
Perhaps another said that. But Benjamin Franklin proposed a complete revision of the Bible and was favorable to its reading. The RSV has 20,000 fewer words than the King James. The RSV is an estimated 20,000 fewer words than the King James. It's kind of interesting. The King James omits what is textually original in 1 John 3:1. They omit the phrase, "and so we are." They omit in Acts 4:25, "by the Holy Spirit." They omit 1 Peter 2:2, which says, "to salvation." See if I have any more notes on the King James. Any questions you might have? Overall, the King James is mediocre. Mediocre. In fact, in evaluating it next semester, it usually comes out about right in the middle of our evaluation.
What were you? You seem to indicate that the, some of these people that champion the King James have some a little bit to go on. At least that's what I thought you were indicating before when we talked about that.
Well, championing the King James text, they have a little bit to go on. But championing the King James translation, I don't think they have anything to go on.
In other words, the Textus Receptus?
You could argue for the Textus Receptus and make some kind of a textual argument for it. I'm not saying it would be an argument that other scholars would accept, but you could make an argument for it. But to argue for the King James, in my opinion, is to argue for what can't be argued for at all. I mean, you can argue that it's a mediocre translation. It's certainly popular. It's reverent. It's spiritual. There's a lot of good things you can say about it. But as far as arguing it being superior to others, I think that's ridiculous. So.
But that's what these people are doing. Are they saying that's the only one?
Well, let's say there's four different positions. Position one is the Westcott and Hort UBS position of modern textual criticism. That's the position I stand in, although I don't buy everything UBS says, and you know, we differ with them on a few particulars here and there, and you know, this could kind of balance out. You know, the Alexandrian text type, maybe the Byzantine text type is to be preferred more than it is. I mean, where I would disagree with this group is maybe I'd give this a little more emphasis than I give this. That's about all I would disagree with. Position number two is that the TR is superior. And that the TR of Stephanus or Erasmus should be updated, and they call this the majority text, and it's superior because 90% of the manuscripts support it, because 90% of them are minuscule, 90% of them are 10th century and later. They call it the majority of texts. They do not go on the critical principles over here. They go on the number of manuscripts. And they argue for a majority text. They believe that the TR of Stephanus and Erasmus, by the way, it should be corrected in about 1,000 places. Because 1 John 5:7 is not a majority text reading. They would omit 1 John 5:7. They would correct this text to be in harmony with the majority text. And this position is not as extreme as position 3 and 4, and this position and this position can kind of argue a little bit, and maybe I would put myself about right here. Position 3 is that the TR as is inspired. And that's as is. There's a lot of people that hold that.
Position four. Oh, and from this, of course, they argue King James superiority, because it comes from a superior text. These people ridicule NAS and modern translations. They ridicule those because they come from the wrong text. They call it a polluted text.
Jack Chick calls it a Catholic text.
This group has produced the New King James. New King James Version. This group holds to the King James because they believe the TR is inspired and it comes from the TR. This group believes that the King James Version is inspired. And they say, if the King James disagrees with Greek and Hebrew, throw Greek and Hebrew out the window. They believe the King James is advanced revelation. And that God is continually preserving the text. Hey, if I were taking these different positions, I'd add number five, my interpretation is inspired. And add number six, I am inspired. Now, this group is headed up by the Pensacola prophet, Peter Ruckman. He publishes a newspaper called Bible Believers Bulletin, and they call themselves Bible Believers. Of course, the implication of this group over here, you can see. And there's a church up in, on the radio. What's his name? Baptist preacher. Got a good voice. Ken Blue. This is Ken Blue. I mean, he's got a good voice, good radio voice. And he is a Bible-believing Baptist. And they believe the King James inspired. They believe the rest of us are in heresy and deceived. And Ruckman was up at his church, and I went up there with Russ McKenzie and listened to him preach. Really, he's a good preacher. He's a powerful personality. Ruckman could get followers if the world was flat. He could preach the world was flat and get a lot of followers. He has a very powerful personality. He's a very talented man. I'm sure Ruckman is a genius. In my opinion, he's a genius. There's no question about it. He is really brilliant. He claims to have read 40,000 books or something like that. He's really an incredible person. And he's real dogmatic and real hard. He calls this group poor panty waist dumbbells. He manifests a real hard spirit, and he's got a few spirits he could get delivered of, believe me. He's a soul winner. He's a Bible believer. He's a Baptist type of mentality, and he's ready to take on the world on this subject, and he does. Go ahead.
You often find it difficult to get people off that stand?
Their only argument here is a lot of show, scholarly show, which doesn't go anywhere. It's just pure dogmatics. Their number one argument is Calvinism. God has ordained it. And you can't logically talk to them. They have all the facts all mixed up. They talk as though they're experts. It's like talking to the witnesses about the J manuscripts. You can't get anywhere.
They list A, and B, and then they list their own. How can they expect anybody to believe that? Is it just ignorance?
Well, there's a lot of ignorant people around, a lot of people believe.
So they're just appealing to the person who doesn't
know. Well, they're looking like they have a scholarly position there, and if you don't know any better, you think they do.
I'm just kind of wondering, where would Jack Chick's position be on somewhere along this line?
Is Jack Chick number four? I know he's number three. Is he number four too?
He's four. This is four. He brought
up. He quotes Peter Ruckman in his
diagnosis.
He quoted practice recently and pretty much tabooed anything that's different.
Yeah, number four they call number one the Alexandrian cult.
Yeah.
And they talk about cover-ups and manuscript B and Aleph being Catholics. And yeah, Westcott and Hort had this big cover-up and all the secret goings-on. You know. What?
Do you know that Chuck, what's his name? Chuck Smith down in California has embraced position four? He's embraced. Does Walter Martin get on this?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a scream. Oh, that'd be a scream. Walter Martin, I'm sure, embraces position one.
One, yeah. Yeah, he has a case in IV. He just insults something. It goes down.
I would love to hear Walter talk on it. You have to tape him a couple times and let me. Okay. But these people have even started a Bible college called the King James Baptist Bible College. What they don't know is that the King James persecuted the Baptists. He persecuted the Baptists in the 1600s. Anyway, we'll talk about this more and answer some of their charges. Some institute in England, you'll read about it in the introduction of the Bible Believers, Bible Basic English.
Hi.